Presents Meet the Candidates, your opportunity to find out more about the people running for provincial office in your riding.
All right. And our candidate this morning represents the Green Party here in the Bay of Quinte riding. She is the election, by the way, is on September 19th. And so we say hello to Lori Borthwick. Good morning, Lori.
Good morning.
Welcome to the show. Thank you for coming in. The way this works, so everybody knows, is that our phone lines are open right now, 613-969-1545, toll-free 1-866-969-1546. Any questions you might have for Lori, and I will have some questions, but if our phone lines happen to go crazy, then let everybody else ask the questions. At the end, Lori will have 60 seconds to tell us why she wants to be the member of provincial parliament for Bay of Quinte. So, Lori, first of all, I think it's a great opportunity for you to introduce yourself to the people of the Quinte region.
Well, thank you, Lauren. I really appreciate this opportunity. I came to this area in 1989. I had started with a job at Quinte Healthcare as a respiratory therapist. In that job, we work mostly with intensive care patients and life support. And I did that for over 30 years. And during that time, I also got active environmentally. We have this very beautiful jewel of a region, and there's so much important nature areas. So that was one of the issues that I'm quite concerned about, is just to protect the natural areas and make sure that we're building our housing in areas that are suitable to that.
So Lori Borthwick, former respiratory therapist, right? Working at Quinte Health, 30 years, right?
30 years, yeah.
Do you have kids, married?
Yes, I have multiple children, two biological, three amazing stepchildren.
Oh, wonderful.
And I've been lucky enough to have. Unfortunately, my previous husband passed away about 7 years ago with terminal cancer. But I am currently very, very lucky to have an amazing partner, John Lowry, who is my keeps me steady and helps me arrange all of the environmental protections and stuff that we work on.
Oh, okay. Well, that's nice. So there you go. A big family. And you talked about the loss of your husband to cancer. You talked about 30 years in healthcare. So let's start with that. Healthcare, certainly infrastructure, education. Those are the three big ones that the provincial government is in charge of. And healthcare is something that's on everybody's mind. There's 10,000 people in this area who they say are orphan patients. I just like to say they don't have a primary care provider. What would the Green Party do to help change this situation? This is first and foremost to so many of the voters listening right now.
Oh, absolutely. I hear it at the door and throughout my practice. Currently work one day a week at Cardiology Services Group, and there are so many people without a family doctor, without a nurse practitioner, and there really aren't any clinics that are open routinely. People are trying to navigate the primary care system. So we need to put our supports there. We need to make that a job that medical students want to take on, and I think the best way to do that is to fund them in a more supportive manner. We need to take a lot of the paperwork, onerous paperwork, off of the family care team, especially the family physicians. They don't want to be small business owners. They want to care for patients.
They want to be doctors.
They want to be doctors. And right now, that's not really how it's working. But it is also the least expensive care is that primary care, that preventative care. So, you know, a family doctor visit might bill OHIP $25 or $30 per visit. But you go to the emergency department and the bill is $300 to $400. So when people are trying to access their primary care, their preventative care needs through an emergency department, not only is there a prolonged waiting time, but it's much more expensive care. We spend more money in the last few days of a person's life than we usually do for the whole rest of their lives before that.
613-969-1545, 1-866-969-1546. That's the number to speak with Ontario Green Party candidate Lori Borthwick. You talked about eliminating some of the office work, some of the things that take up so much time for a primary care physician. I'm sure it's the same amount of work for a nurse practitioner as well. But the problem is there's not enough. Mm-hmm. You know, so how do we get individuals to decide to become not only a physician, but a physician that wants to work in Frankfurt, or a physician that wants to work in Wellington or Picton or Belleville? You know, how do we get that to occur?
It starts with making the job a job that people look forward to doing, and supporting them so that they feel like they're not there out there alone just struggling. And so that's where a strong family health team, we were really lucky for many years in Picton. There was just a strong group of family physicians. They supported each other. Unfortunately, a lot of them have retired. Newer family doctors coming on are not onboarding as many patients as the old style. Yeah,
it's
doctors.
Like usually 1,200 or 1,500 now compared with 6,000, right?
Oh, well, sometimes less. Some of the doctors have 400, 600, 700 patients on their roster. So unfortunately, everyone wants a work-life balance. We're going to have to allow there to be more family physicians and more nurse practitioners and regular just nurses can do a lot of the work as well. But when you go into a hospital, the hospital pays for all that ancillary staff through direct government funding. But when you're a family doctor, and I'm working right now at Cardiology Services, they pay my salary. They pay for the overhead of the building. They pay for the computer systems running that. It's a lot of expenses for them at the top end. And those doctors are working so hard. Mm-hmm. Why can we not give them some type of subsidy or just pay the salaries of the ancillary staff as needed through the government?
So your suggestion is that through the Ministry of Health, the as you said, the nurses who work in, the receptionists should be paid by in the same way that receptionists and nurses and so on and so forth are paid at a hospital.
Mm-hmm. I think that that would help in large part just relieve that burden of being a business owner on these doctors. I will also say that without so many of our patients, they don't have a family doctor and they come in and they're coming to a cardiology clinic and our cardiologists highly specialized knowledge and they spend a lot of time trying to help these patients with their primary care issues. So it's become very expensive not to be putting the input. Oh, yes.
So
absolutely.
Somebody comes in because whoever they've gone to see, whether it's somebody in the ER or they've gone to one of the mobile clinics or whatever, and said, you know, listen, we've sent you for blood work and your blood work numbers are quite high. You need to go see a cardiologist. They go to a cardiologist and the guy starts to complain about hip pain.
Sometimes, yes. Hip pain. Now, obviously, they're not orthopedics,
right.
But they spend a huge amount of their time dealing with primary care issues.
Well, thank you for that. I mean, they've chosen to be cardiologists for a reason because they want to work on the heart. Mm-hmm. Well, that just shows about the extent of a problem. And it also shows how incredible a GP or family physician really is. They're your psychologists. They're your, pharmacologists. They're they know a little bit about everything, right? They're your Swiss Army knives and they know you.
Yes. They know you and they're your gateway to health services. They're the ones that move you on to a specialist if you need that care.
So one of the things that we've been talking about is foreign trained physicians.
Mm-hmm.
How do we deal with that issue? The Ford government has been trying to deal with it, but the Ontario College of Physicians has been burdensome in this, trying to, believe it or not, fight some of this and so on and so forth. I find it hard to believe that a trained physician in South Africa, in Australia, in Great Britain, in Ireland could not practice certainly basic medicine here in Ontario, and they should be fast track to get a license.
Yes. No, I agree with you 100% on that. You just need to ensure that there is a level of competency right. across the board.
So you give them a test.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Or they could even work in another registered family physician's office with them for a month and see what kind of work they do.
I'm joking on my coffee. It gets me so upset. But, you know, by driving around this area, mm-hmm. certainly driving around Toronto, there's people from all over the world. So yes. when we talk about doctors whose English might not be as good, there are physicians who are driving taxis from the Punjab region, from other parts of Southeast Asia, whose English might be so-so, but might be very well trained to deal with people whose also English is so, but their Punjabi is amazing.
Yes.
And so why can't we figure out a way to get those people in that stream to help those individuals who are here who also need healthcare?
No, absolutely. And even, I mean, I'm sure that their English is still better than my Punjabi. I think we could communicate.
Right.
Definitely. There's so many issues within the healthcare system, and often really the answer is the inputs at the right side of it. You have to make sure that you're putting the inputs where you're going to get the best outcomes. And I don't think there's any studies that would argue that family physicians and preventative care is much better value for money. Dealing with problems early or getting lifestyle changes and treatments early pays off huge dividends down the road.
I agree. It's if you buy a car and you maintain it, it's going to last you way longer than if you decide to just ignore it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same with the human body. We maintain ourselves. We get the treatment we need early and we'll be much better off. Treatment. That's one of the big words we're hearing right now when it comes to homelessness and addictions and mental health. I'm sure you're hearing a lot of that at the door as well, because that's another huge issue for this riding. How would you and the Green Party deal with the homelessness and addictions and mental health issues that we have here in the Bay of Quinte region? Mayors like Neil Ellis say on a regular basis, a lot of this has to be settled by our provincial politicians, falls into that basket. So if you get elected on the 19th, how are you going to make a difference?
Well, the issue is definitely complex. It's not going to disappear overnight, obviously. But we need, again, to be supporting our municipalities. There's like a group of municipalities that are right now asking for supports, both federal and provincial, so that they can support their unhoused populations. Most municipalities are run with property taxes. It's a very outdated system. It doesn't properly finance a municipality and their needs. And for many, many, many years, we've been downloading costs to municipalities. The province cuts costs, downloads them to the municipalities who are struggling with it. And then, of course, the municipalities have to write for grant applications and hope to get some money from the province or from the federal government as well. And as Greens, we strongly believe that we need to fund the municipalities at a much higher level and actually upload costs to the province, but allow the municipalities to make the decisions on the ground that they need to make to support their unhoused folks. We have a huge need in this riding. We know that mental health is health. We need to spend more money on mental health and addiction services. It's just as important as or more important than your physical health, because they affect each other. So we do need to put the money there, but we also are going to have to do a lot of training. A lot of people have left these types of mental health roles through stress. It's a very obviously stressful environment. And we need the government level at all levels to work together. You know, the municipalities need to feel supported by their provincial government and the federal government. And we can't be hearing from any level of government that it's not their problem, because it's everybody's problem. It's everybody's problem.
There's no question that it is, and all levels of government have to participate. The thing, and I'll bring you back to healthcare, mm-hmm. is this costs money. Mm-hmm. And there's one taxpayer, it's you, it's me. And so how do you get the money and ensure that that money goes to these programs, money goes to physicians, money goes to all this kind of thing. Where is it coming from?
Well, I think it's where your priorities are. We looked at the budget for the new highway that they'd like to build, the 413, I believe, is going to be $40 billion. We look at the cost that it was for Ontario to put alcohol in the corner stores. There's some variation on the cost, but let's say it's at least $500 million it cost the government to do that, and they were able to do that quickly. So where are we putting our money? Where are we putting our resources? And I think it's time that we put them in the right spots, which is to support those most in need of it. The other issue, as I see it, is look at the taxation. You're absolutely right, Lauren. You and I are paying tax at a higher rate than most of the corporations in Canada. I'm kind of unsure as to why the corporate tax rate is so low when in the main driver of employment across Canada is small and medium-sized businesses. They employ 60% of the private workforce, and they are not supported like we support the large corporations. So I do think that we do need a little bit of a tax change. I don't think that the middle class can support everything. I think we need to be taxing the wealthiest and also corporations that have benefited from our policies and the care that we give to Canadians.
I think most people would agree that the wealthiest Canadians should pay their fair share. There's always loopholes for for hundred millionaires and billionaires, and they're paying 8% tax and I'm paying 30-something%. How's that fair? But you got to find that balance, because a lot of those billionaires have gotten there because they've built these companies, and they do employ thousands of people, and they help make this province and this country what it is. So you have to find a balance where corporations aren't paying too much tax so they can invest back in their corporations. You're giving me the eye, but you know, they need to pay. Like, I'm not saying that we all need to pay, but it needs to be proper.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah. Like, it needs to be proportionate and proper.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And so, as you say, I probably pay a 30% or 32% tax rate. Mm-hmm. And if I was incorporated, I'd be paying 11% tax rate.
Right.
Don't really see how that is sustainable. And it's nice to think that all the corporations are just busily making jobs, good jobs for Canadians. But I think, you know, if Amazon proves anything, that's not necessarily the case. And the jobs are often not a living wage. So that is a concern, obviously. How do we expect people to live if we're not paying them enough money to even rent an apartment?
Hmm. Well, how do we do that?
This is where I take over the world. No.
Well, if you have a good idea, I'm for it. But how do we do that? How do we make a small cafe pay somebody much more than minimum wage, so the cafe owner can afford to pay themselves and keep that place open?
Yeah. So again, you see the crunch of small businesses that they have, because if they were paying a higher wage, as we would hope that they would be able to, then the cost of their products would have to go up, and they're not able to access the support programs in the same way that larger businesses can, because they just simply don't have someone to do the paperwork. And I've heard that from multiple small businesses, especially in the county. Counties, like 92% of the businesses in the county are small businesses, and 60% of them approximately are owned by women. So it's actually not just a small business problem, but it's a woman's issue as well. And a lot of times they can't access the supports for small businesses because they don't have the time to do the paperwork. For instance, if they want to get a subsidy for student workers, they have to do that paperwork usually over the Christmas season is when it needs to go in, and that's their busiest time. They simply don't have time. That's what I'm hearing from the door. And what they're telling me is that something like a universal basic income would really help them, because then they could pay what they're paying now, minimum wage, but everybody would be getting this universal basic income. And
yet again, where does the money come for that?
Well, I think if we've I'd like to say that I think that after all of these years, that Canadians understand that if you support people, they will be supporting the country as well. So I think a universal basic income would take so much of the paperwork out of our system. It would support everybody, and those people would be putting money back into the country, either through jobs, through taxation, and through their buying power.
It is 10:27. Our guest is Lori Borthwick. She is the Green Party candidate for the Bay of Quinte riding. The by-election is on Thursday, September 19th. If you didn't know, that's next Thursday. So make sure if you are in this riding to get out and vote, register yourself. Make sure you are registered and vote. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, more questions for Lori. Phone lines are open for you as well. 613-969-1545. Toll free 1-866-969-1546.
Hi, I'm Carson Arthur, host of Take It Outside on CJBQ. When you listen to Take It Outside, you'll get great garden and landscape advice just like this.
Those caterpillars, they could be a couple of different moths. If they're causing a lot of problems for you and they're eating a lot of your precious plants, you can control it with that BTK product. BTK, it's an organic bacteria. When sprayed on the leaves, it freezes the caterpillar's stomach.
Want more? Tune in to the next edition of Take It Outside with me, Carson Arthur. Saturday mornings from 8 to 10 on 800 CJBQ.
Take It Outside with Carson Arthur is proudly brought to you by Sprouts Landscape and Masonry Supply, Expedia Cruises Belleville, Coburg and Kingston, Deerhaven Farm and Garden, Conan Nurseries, Competition Motors, Eastern Overhead Doors, Mary Lou Frost of Exit Realty, Willalee Sod Farms, and Comac Pools and Landscaping.
What's happening, Quinte, on CJBQ.
The Quinte West Public Library invites you to an enlightening evening with neurologist Frederick Brocard. Discover the fascinating world of the human brain and learn about the latest advancements in neurology. September 18th at 5:30 p.m. To register for this free event, contact the Quinte West Public Library.
And that's What's Happening, Quinte, brought to you by Butech Window and Door.
Searching for great windows? You don't have to search far. Explore premium windows by North Star, Sierra Pacific, and more. All on display at ViewTech Window and Door. Enjoy your local view. ViewTech Window and Door in Belleville at the corner of Church and Station.
Hey, it's Lauren Brooker, and it's time to see the world in modern luxury. I'm inviting you to our 2025 Caribbean cruise hosted by Blows and Stewart Travel and 800 CJBQ. This adventure begins February 27th with two nights at the incredible Riverside Hotel in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Then we'll step aboard the incredible Celebrity Apex for a seven-night cruise. We're going to stop in Key West, Florida, Bimini in Nassau in the Bahamas, and Puerto Plata, Dominican Republic. The best part of all, a portion of proceeds will go to the Belleville General Hospital Foundation. So reserve your spot now and help keep exceptional care close to home. Call Blows and Stewart Travel today, 961-1186. That's 961-1186, and cruise with me this February.
Disability support.
Like family.
Alzheimer's and dementia care.
Like family.
24-hour in-home support.
Just Like Family.
Does your family need help caring for a loved one? Contact Just Like Family Home Care. Your loved one will receive personalized one-on-one home care from one consistent caregiver. Caring, compassionate, and thorough.
Just Like Family.
Request a free consultation. Visit justlikefamily.ca. Just Like Family Home Care. Safety, comfort, and care at home.
Thinking about a kitchen upgrade? Buy more, save more with Frigidaire and Arnie's. Save up to an additional $300 on all Frigidaire Gallery appliances during the Fall Renovations event. Until November 13th at Arnie's Appliances, Tynedanega. Everything but the taxes.
This is Brian DeCare, and I invite you to join me tomorrow morning on 800 CJBQ, where you'll have more chances to qualify for the big cruise coming up in February, all benefiting BGH Foundation. As well, join us for the latest in news, weather, and sports, and one great hit after another on 800 CJBQ.
Live from Studio 800, it's the Lauren Brooker Show on CJBQ.
And you have joined us as we are meeting a candidate in the upcoming by-election. Green Party candidate Lori Borthwick is in studio with us. It's 32 minutes after 10 o'clock, and our phone lines are open if you have a question. 613-969-1545. Well, Lori, you're a Green Party candidate, so I assume there is some concern about our environment. Interestingly enough, in Prince Edward County anyway, when the Conservatives took over power, they canceled some of the projects, the wind projects in the county, and now the Conservatives are looking to start more green energy projects. What are your thoughts on how we should be moving around the province, how we should be heating and cooling our homes and powering our giant screen TVs and so on and so forth? You know, it's great to say we need to save the bees, and I think hopefully everybody agrees with that, and protecting our environment. But, you know, 9 out of 10 of us still need to get from point A to point B, and nobody's turning off my TV, and it gets hot in the summer. So how are you going to deal with some of the climate issues and energy issues here in the province?
Well, there's definitely there's going to be increasing impacts on all of our infrastructure as climate change continues. We will need to be working on mitigation, as we saw this summer. I think we had 1 hour of heavy rain here, and we lost power to a good part of the city and had flooding. And my particular workplace, cardiology services group, was closed because we had no power and nobody could get into our parking lot. So we have to look forward to knowing that these types of rain events and snow events and dry spells are going to increase in frequency. So we need to create more resilient infrastructure to handle these types of events. It's expensive at the beginning, but it'll save a lot of money down the road. Our current system for electricity production is gone from a user pay system to more of a taxpayer-based system. One of the first things that the current government did when they held power, as you said, was they got rid of a lot of the alternative energy projects, some of which were definitely not well thought out and put in areas that are high ecological sensitivity. However, they also canceled the conservation programs, which is the most inexpensive way of increasing power to where we need it most. We have significant amounts of power in Quebec that they do buy, but they did cancel the contract for that. And the other issue is we need to think about, as you say, how we're heating our homes. So when we're doing new developments, right now, we're still subsidizing Enbridge to hook them all up to natural gas. Natural gas is methane, and it's a GHG. It increases heating in the atmosphere actually by quite a bit in the short term over 20 years. So we don't really want to be using a lot of that. What we would prefer is that people would be using heat pumps. Heat pumps have come down a lot in price. They are very economical to run. And if you're creating a new subdivision, what could be better than a geothermal system, which is 200 or 300% efficiency in heating and cooling people's homes? That there are solutions, but it's not just a one-size-fits-all type of issue. You really need to think, and I do appreciate that the current government is now realizing that we do need to have a variety of sources for our power generation, and not just excluding solar and wind power, but we also need to really support people. Like, there's a lot of parking lots that could have solar power panels installed on them. There are a lot of roofs that could have solar panel. I don't like to see a field covered in solar panels. I would prefer to see micro-gridding and smaller installations to provide power. And the other issue with, so as electric cars have increased, the battery, say, within my Chevy Bolt is So large.
You have an electric car?
I do.
That's a shocker. I'm taken back.
You're not. But not a Tesla.
One day, maybe. If you get this gig, you'll be making enough money to have a Tesla.
I don't like their business model.
One of the things that the Conservative government has been working on, and certainly the former MPP here, former Minister of Energy, Todd Smith, is nuclear energy, small mm-hmm. modular reactors. Mm-hmm. Nuclear energy, provides a lot of power. And, of course, there's not a lot of there's waste, but I mean, the daily, what comes out of it is steam, right? So mm-hmm. it's not polluting the atmosphere per se. What are your thoughts on nuclear power?
Yes. So nuclear power, especially the CANDU reactors, have been, one of the safest reactors around the world. The small modular nuclear reactors are a very new idea. And they're actually going to put a lot in one spot. So I love the idea of them further north. I will say that we still do need to consider that the nuclear waste, what are we going to do with it? There are some thoughts that we will be able to use it going forward as energy for other nuclear plants. I think that would be great. Mm-hmm. It's certainly less damaging to the atmosphere than, generation.
Well, there's no damage because there's steam.
Exactly.
So it's just.
Exactly. But there's still some, of course, mining for components
right.
and such.
But there is for everything. I mean,
absolutely.
The battery in your phone
exactly.
requires that. Right?
And the oil and gas that we use every day is mined.
But here's an interesting question, and again, mm-hmm. I am all for trying to do as best as we can for this planet. Mm-hmm. You want to build a car, you drive a Chevy Bolt.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any plastic in that car?
Oh, yes.
I bet you a lot of it.
Yeah. Not single use, though.
But that's a petroleum product. Mm-hmm. The rubber on your tires, mm-hmm. petroleum product.
Yes.
So it's disingenuous for us to say, these are, it's a perfect solution because a lot of petroleum is used in our everyday products.
Absolutely.
Everything we use, everywhere we look around, there is from the screens that I'm looking at, the rubber in my headphones, it's everywhere. So there's some great solutions out there. The prices eventually need to come down. But there are ways to do it. Where was I? I was just somewhere and the water bottles they were using was some kind of it wasn't even plastic, but it looked like plastic. Like they were able to do that, and I'm like, well, that's great. Like compostable.
Yeah.
But I'm sure it costs a lot more. But this company decided that they were going to use it. That's
yes.
great,
yeah.
right?
There are a lot of solutions. I'm old enough to remember when everything wasn't so much plastic.
Listen, the best Coke in the world comes in a glass bottle. You can't
right?
tell me that's not true. And I would love, I remember the days you'd buy a 6-pack of 750 glass bottles of your pop, right? Mm-hmm. But it just became much more economical, I suppose, for the bottlers to do all that kind of stuff. There are a lot of ways that don't ruin people's lives or make them miserable.
Yes. Yes. You don't have to, although, some of us, we do seem to like to be miserable. If you ever go to the grocery store and try to, buy the foods on your list and not get a bunch of plastic coverings, you'll be like, I did plastic free July for several years and ran a little single use plastics reduction working group. Not a good title. It's very hard to live in this world, in this society.
Well, you tell me
plastic.
You have five kids now.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me how a mom of two or three with little kids has plastic-free July. That's not happening.
Yeah. They were not that small when I did plastic-free July. I'll be honest.
It's just life is too busy. It's too hard.
And why should we have to work so hard? You can't add that onto people's plates. You absolutely can't. It needs to be a genuine shift. And I think it's happening. It's happening maybe slowly, but it's definitely, I think we need to learn that we don't need everything to be happy. everywhere we go, we don't need to take several tons of metal with us, whether it be an electric car or a gas-powered car that's very efficient. What would be better? A bicycle would be better. Walking would be better. There's electrical bikes that mm-hmm. can help you get up and down hills.
And I agree. I just came back from...
In transport, we need a good transportation system. Terrible transportation system.
I just got back from Korea with the city, and where we've stayed, they called it the 15-minute city. So you can walk 5 minutes to a train station and get anywhere in the country. Restaurants, grocery stores, everything was all... There was an IKEA and a Costco, a five-minute walk. Everything you needed was walkable. We don't design our communities that way. It'd be cool if we did because people were walking and talking and all those kind of things, but we haven't. So we have to, I think, look at where we are today. If you live in Prince Edward County, you're not walking from Wellington to Picton.
No.
Right?
No.
They're
working on a transportation plan, and they do have busing now, which is great. But it's not...
If you're a senior, you're not getting on a bike. If you know, most seniors... No, let me finish what I'm saying. There's a lot of seniors with health issues that just can't get on a bike, right? And the ones that can, wonderful. But November, December, January, February, March, it's a little tough, right? You know, if you're in Fort Lauderdale, different story altogether. I like getting on bikes. And I agree with you. I think we all agree. Let's walk. Let's get out there. I would love to be able to just walk to a coffee shop and enjoy a coffee with somebody. But, you know, it's a little far from my house north of the 401 to Benji's down here to walk.
Well, I was lucky because I lived on Victoria, very close to the hospital where I worked. There used to be a Reddick's Bakery.
Right.
There was a pharmacy right downtown. Dewey's used to be like within walking distance.
There used to be Semple's, remember?
Semple's, yeah. Yes. Yeah. And everything was within walking distance. And I walked to and from work for 30 years and, because I didn't want to pay for parking.
You were able to do that.
That was like essentially a 15-minute neighborhood. And so when I see us building all of this housing out on the suburbs, you know, that right there without access, if you want to build out in the suburbs, then where is the access to food? Where is the restaurants? Where is the doctor's office? Where is the dentist office? You know, when we need to plan our communities, we need to plan them so that people can access the services they need. Maybe you need to drive once a day, but not 12 times a day.
We're going to take another break. 613-969-1545. Our candidate is Lori Borthwick. Lori is the Green Party candidate for the Bay of Quinte. The election, September 19th. Get out. Vote, vote, vote. Can't stress this enough. I don't care who you vote for. Just get out and vote.
The following is a paid political message.
Hi, I'm Tyler Alsop, your local PC party candidate for the upcoming Bay of Quinte by-election. As a local city councilor and small business owner, I understand the challenges our community faces. I'm running to stand up against the liberal carbon tax, to help keep costs low for hardworking families, boost our economy, create jobs, and work to reduce crime, ensuring our communities stay safe. On September 19th, I need your support to be your voice at Queen's Park. Together, we can make a real difference.
Authorized by the CFO of the Tyler Alsop Campaign.
Bond Law. They're Quinte's local personal injury lawyers with more than 50 years of local success. Bond Law helps you never have to call them. But if you're ever injured due to a car crash, slip and fall, or any act of negligence, rest assured, Bond Law will support you in your time of need. Contact Bond Law for a free consultation. Visit bondlaw.ca.
We're here when you need us most.
Bond Law, proudly serving our neighbors for over 50 years.
From heavy equipment to home renovation supplies, tractors, brand new kitchen cabinet sets, and so much more, BrinesAuction.com has you covered. Check out the home of great deals. Place your bid at BrinesAuction.com. Online auction closes today.
800-CJBQ and Blows and Stewart Travel want to send you on the Caribbean cruise of your dreams this February. Listen anytime for your cue to call 613-969-1545. The first five callers qualify for 9 paradise-filled nights. You'll fly to South Florida for 2 nights at the Riverside Hotel in Fort Lauderdale. Then it's one sensational week aboard the Celebrity Apex with stops at four beautiful tropical ports of call. Log on to CJBQ.com for full contest details. Cruise the Caribbean with Lauren Brooker this winter from BST Vacations and 800-CJBQ.
A Mercedes-Benz is more than a car. It's a lifestyle. And you can live the Mercedes-Benz life with Mercedes-Benz Kingston. Right now, when you switch to Mercedes-Benz, you can enjoy introductory lease rates starting at 2.99% on select models. Looking to electrify your Mercedes-Benz? Get up to an additional 2% in loyalty rate reductions on our complete EQ model lineup with loyalty lease rates from 0.99%. Mercedes-Benz Kingston. Big city luxury. Small town heart.
800-CJBQ, delivering 20 news since 1946. 800-CJBQ. You've tuned into Talk, the stories that matter to you. The Lauren Brooker Show on 800-CJBQ.
It is an opportunity for you to meet the candidates. Green Party candidate Lori Borthwick in studio on Thursday. We'll be joined by Amanda Robertson from the NDP, and on Tuesday, Sean Kelly from the Liberals will join us, and you can watch all the interviews on your TV, plus you can find it online here on at CJBQ.com. So, Lori, we got to talk. We've talked about the environment and energy and healthcare and so on and so forth, and we have a few minutes left. Another big aspect is education. The person that left this gig, I guess, was the Minister of Education for a brief moment. But education is key to incredible countries and communities and so on and so forth. What do the Greens think about when they think about, you know, education, post-secondary education, the trades, all those kind of things? Hugely important. Lots of jobs in the trades, you know, and we got to get young people involved in that. Obviously, I'm sure you agree. Mm-hmm. And then I'm sure the Green Party looks at trades using green technology and building green and things like that. And I assume there's lots of opportunity there as well. So when it comes to education, what is the policy of Mike Schreiner and you?
Well, of course, for education, the first thing we need is to make sure our school infrastructure is up to date. There has quite a big backlog. So that is one of our policies, is to improve the schools themselves. Air conditioning is probably going to be a need going forward that we saw this year in June with that extreme heat wave, and students can't learn, and it's really not safe when the temperatures get too high. And there's a number of schools that still have like one air conditioned area. I don't think you can pack all the kids in into those rooms.
Right.
So we need to support education in that way. But in addition, for post-secondary education, we want to increase the grants and decrease the loans. And I think we should definitely be putting more money into our post-secondary institutions. Provincial money, obviously, is a provincial domain. But right now, we have squeezed all of the post-secondary institutions for funding, and that has made it very attractive for them to try to bring people, scholars from around the world to come in.
Foreign students.
Foreign yeah. students. They pay them. They have to pay so much more money in tuition. That's caused some issues with housing, because we have all these wonderful foreign students that come in, but there's no dormitories for them. There's no housing. And then they have to look for housing, and they're being taken advantage of. And they're also taking housing that used to be available for people that were on lower incomes. So it's become a bit of chain reaction, all in some ways caused by an underfunding of our post-secondary institutions. I do think in schools, in high schools, we need to ensure that kids know that there are many, many options for employment. I have one son that went through university and, you know, got a job now with the CRA, so probably one of the more hated people on the earth. But, my other son did just as well in high school and academic, but he wanted a different path, and now he is an electrician.
Hmm.
And
doing well, I'm sure.
Yes, he is. Yeah. They just managed to buy a house. Managed to get in there and buy a very
Does that not make house. You upset, though, that an electrician in this province just managed to buy a house.
And only because he lived with his mother for four years.
But it should be something that is attainable for people who have regular jobs.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Like in their lifetime, if you're making 60 or 70 grand and electricians can make much more than that, you should be able to buy some kind of house, a starter house, and then move up the ladder.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, we don't have the right type of housing. A lot of what is being built, and it's being built by private industry. Obviously, they're there to ensure that they have profits for their shareholders and for themselves. And so they're building more luxury homes on bigger lots, generally speaking. So we need to be working with nonprofits. We need to create housing for people that they can afford.
All right. So you're running for Member of Provincial Parliament, Lori, for the Bay of Quinte. Mm-hmm. That's Belleville, Prince Edward County, and Quinte West. Completely different communities with completely different needs.
Yes.
What are, in your opinion, the needs of each community, and how would you deal with it?
You're right. They're very, very different. When you knock on doors in Belleville, you hear affordability and housing. Those are the two biggest issues. When you go and knock on the doors in Prince Edward County, there is, you know, housing issues for sure, especially for people that were longtime residents of the county. In many cases, a lot of the rental that they were able to afford is being sold or torn down, and new rental apartments or condos will be built. So they may not be able to afford to stay in that community. But in Prince Edward County, they have a lot more issues with supporting the farming community. We're losing farmland at 452 acres a day. Class 1 and 2 farmland in southern Ontario is some of the most productive farmland in the world. We really need to protect it. It's a non-renewable resource. We're not going to suddenly get a lot more farmland. So that's another issue to support our farmers and make it viable for them to continue farming. A lot of our farmers are in their 50s, and many of them, about 40%, do not have a succession plan. So we really need to look at how are we going to enable, with the high cost of land now, because everyone wants to develop housing on it, how do we support young people that want to go into farming? Because how would they buy enough land to farm? Mm-hmm. It's just a so that's an issue in the county, as well as protecting some of the really important and one-of-a-kind ecosystems. And then, of course, in Quinte West, you have other issues, again, around housing, because they have this amazing Air Force base with lots of people that come there to live. And how do we house all of those people?
All right. Well, it's been an hour, so you get 60 seconds now. To tell us why the voters of the Bay of Quinte riding should vote for Lori Borthwick as the Member of Provincial Parliament.
Well, I think that if you're voting now and right up till September 19th, if you vote for the Green Party and myself, Lori Borthwick, you are getting an advocate for you. I will be able to represent your needs in Parliament, talking to the other people at Queen's Park in a spirit of collaboration. No other party that is of the main four will be able to represent your needs without first consulting with the leader of their party, or maybe even just telling you what their party is going to do for you. But I want to hear from you. I want to know what your concerns are, and whether you elect me or not, I will still be bothering you to hear your concerns and advocate for you.
All right. Well, Lori, if somebody wants to find out more about you and the Ontario Greens, how do they do so?
There is gpo.ca is the website. It has the full platform of the Ontario Greens there, and it's an amazing platform. Look through it. It covers everything from mental health right through to a masterclass in housing that we all need here. And the other is bayofquinte@gpo.ca. That's just our local website.
Okay. Well, it's a pleasure meeting you. Thank you so much for coming in today. I know you were a bit nervous, but you did really well. So don't worry about it. And good luck on next Thursday.
Thank you very much, Lauren. I appreciate it.
All right. Again, that's Lori Borthwick. She is the Green Party candidate for the Bay of Quinte riding. Again, make sure you're registered. Get out and vote. There's pre-voting and all that kind of stuff. And, of course, you can vote on Election Day next Thursday. And we'll have all the coverage. We have all the reporters out on Thursday. And every 30 minutes here on 800 CJBQ, we'll have updates on what's happening with the numbers. And we'll have full coverage on this program the very next day on Friday the 20th. Ross McDougall will be in studio and special guests as well.